You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome. We got in the car. We did it. I bet you thought, man, is Peter ever going to do one of these from the car over the howl of screams? And here I am doing just that thing that I said that you may have been saying. It's almost like I'm psychic and I know exactly what I'm going to think that you're going to say. So I was thinking about what Colorado-based podcast could go through the Halloween season doing a show every day without hitting a fucking road construction. That's not what I was thinking, but that's just what happened. I was thinking, what Colorado-based podcast could go through a Halloween daily show without talking about the Stanley Hotel? You know, the most hauntedest of hotels that have a name like Stanley. I feel like if you live here, you know, okay, obviously this is the hotel from The Shining, and, from being haunted, and I think if you live in Colorado, you've probably had some kind of experience, run-in, purposeful or non-interaction with the Stanley Hotel. I have had three. Or I would divide the incidents I've had into three sort of distinct ones. You know, there's some different ones, right? So let's talk about the Stanley Hotel and Pete's experiences with the haunting of the Stanley Hotel. Now, this first one is not so much a haunting of ghosts and whatnot as, you know, has created an image in my mind that I can't unsee. When I was about 14, I had my first what I would call a job. And that job was mowing the lawn for old people in the neighborhood. Mostly old people, right? This is a thing that used to happen that I don't know if it happens anymore. Like, is there anyone out there? I know someone who listens to this must have a kid. I don't feel like kids who are, you know, 14 are, like, mowing lawns in the neighborhood. Is that a thing that kids are doing? It was a thing I was doing, and I hated it, but it was, like, my only source of income. You know, it fucking sucks to be 14, because no one's going to give you a goddamn job, but you want money when you're 14, right? You want it, so you have to improvise, and you end up doing something like mowing lawns, because basically it started because my brother was mowing the lawn for this lady, and then, he quit. And I picked up the slack, if you want to call it that, and quickly realized why he quit. Now, mowing the lawn in itself wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it wasn't fun. But what sucked was this lady, you know, the first one I did it for, and ultimately my longest customer, was pretty annoying. And she, you know, had some habits that were ranged from annoying to downright offensive. So, first of all, she, you know, you had to mow the lawn in a very specific, at an angle, a certain angle, you know, I would say like maybe 45 degrees to the house. And, you know, but not quite, I don't know, like maybe 30 degrees or 60, whatever, whichever way. Doesn't fucking matter. The point is, she was kind of picky about it. And I found that as a 14-year-old very annoying. Because, you know, obviously everyone who's mowed a lawn knows the easiest way to do it is to at least start doing the perimeter, right? You do the perimeter and then you do the interior. Now, some people do this by doing a series of circles that, you know, ever tightening. And some people do this by doing a couple circles and then going back and forth through the center. The reason that's the easiest, in case you're wondering, is because you can't, when you go back and forth, you can only get so close to the edge, right? Like, you run into the edge of the house, and then you have to turn the lawnmower, but you don't have any room to turn the lawnmower. So if you do a couple rounds on the perimeter and then do it that way, it's easier. Now, she was like, you could do once around the edge. And I would always try and do two or three around the edge, and she would always come out and be like, no, you need to mow it this way. And I was like, God fucking damn it, you know what I mean? I just like, who fucking cares what your grass looks like? Like, which way? It's like, you know when you vacuum and it makes those lines in the carpet? Which, by the way, invention. Carpet that's designed with the vacuum lines in it. So it always looks like you've just vacuumed. And then even if your carpet's filthy, when someone comes over and they find it to be filthy, you can be like, I just vacuumed. And everyone will say, that's clear. I don't know what happened. Maybe your vacuum's broken. But this isn't your fault. It's not like you didn't vacuum because you knew I was coming and you're just like, eh, fuck them. But that's what actually happened. So anyway, you know, part of it was just me being a 14-year-old dick because I was a 14-year-old and I was a dick. So what are you going to do? But then, you know, this lady also did some things that were annoying, like she had a baby tree that she planted in her backyard. And so this was an older lady. Not in good shape, and, you know, definitely beyond her years, and I don't know what that means. She is someone who I feel like when she was 50, probably looked like she was 70. I mean, she smoked, she drank a shitload, and, I never saw her in anything other than baby doll pajamas, ever. And this includes the one time I saw her outside of her house at the local arts picnic. And, you know, I always assumed, I mean, she would come out in the yard in that shit. She would, like, pull weeds in that shit. I always assumed, like, well, I don't know. It's her, I'm at her house. Like, that's where you wear pajamas, is at your house, right? So that's not unusual. But then it turned out this is what she wore outside of the house. And I kind of think it was one of these, like, she's old and she doesn't give a fuck. And that wouldn't surprise me. So anyway, she had this baby tree, and she put these railroad spikes into the grass on the side of it, specifically so that her tree would not get run over. Now, let me just be clear about this. She had a tree that looked like it was from a fucking model, like the Beetlejuice model. It was that small, you know, like the length of your index finger, maybe. And she put railroad spikes into the ground, which I guess in theory would destroy a lawnmower, you know, terribly damage the blade. Who knows how unsafe that is for the operator of the lawnmower. She did this in order to save this baby tree that she had grown from like a seed. While I appreciate the act of growing a tree from a seed, and you know, she'd always be like, this tree's going to be so tall and it's going to give me so much shade. And it's going to be great. And I remember always thinking, like, not in your fucking lifetime, lady. Which turned out to be very accurate. There's something to be said for that act. However, I feel like, all right, if you're going to plant a tree in your yard, rather than put railroad spikes next to it to keep the lawnmower from going by it, just, like, make a little perimeter and, you know, dig up the grass in the perimeter. You don't need the grass there, right? You can just have it be dirt. So then you don't even have to get close to it with the lawnmower. Make it a dirt patch. Why would I run that over? She had some other thing, too, that had a thing around it. I don't know. She had another, like, tree, but that one died. I saw my brother run it over. To call it a tree is unfair. It was a stick. And it was a stick where, like, imagine Mr. Fantastic and he flattens himself and then you view him from the side. You can't see that motherfucker. And that's the same thing this tree was. It was like the fall, this thing was a goddamn stick sticking out of the ground. So anyway, and, you know, every once in a while she would have me do a little extra work inside the house. There is a bicycle that appears to be trying to get on the interstate. This seems like a terribly dangerous endeavor. Also, His light is not nearly bright enough for this maneuver. Okay, I'm, like, waiting to see if this bike is just going past the interstate, which I hope is what's happening. But it's not going fast enough. Okay. Once in a while, I do a little extra chores, you know. Like, okay, she wanted me to install these fucking shelves in her garage. But these shelves, quote-unquote, were sort of these, stick-on, almost pegboard things. And then they had shelf arms that came out, and she wanted the shelves to be her old closet doors. You know, she's like, I got a great idea. I'm going to turn these closet doors into shelves. Therefore, I don't have to buy shelves. But, you know, it doesn't fucking fit. Like, why would you make a shelf as deep as a closet door? That's fucking insane. Like, as soon as you look at it, you're like, well, there's a reason you wouldn't do that. And you know, she was hoping I could solve this as, like, a 14-year-old boy, and I was like, listen, I'm not the kid from the road. I don't have my father teaching me how to, you know, make do with basically nothing. You know, I'm not at the level where I'm eating my own cum in order to survive. I don't think that happened in that book. But I would write a thesis on it being implied. That would probably be popular. And she always paid me by check. She insisted on paying me by check as opposed to cash, which was really fucking annoying because I had to have a bank account in order to cash those checks. And when you're living paycheck to paycheck and your paychecks are $8, you know, you have to keep a certain amount in the bank. And that is torturous because you're like, I make $8 a week and then I have to keep, I don't know, $25 in this bank account or otherwise they'll charge me $4 or something. This is horrible. Like, I have almost a month's pay tied up in the goddamn banking system. This is pre-Obama's America. I don't know whose fault this is. And I was a little bit scarred by, you know, entering her home, and she had this recycle bin that was always filled over the brim with one thing, which is Wild Turkey empty bottles. She also had cats who puked in the house all the time, and it seemed like she never cleaned the puke. I mean, this was the first time I probably went into what we would describe as a cat house. Not like a prostitution house, but, you know, a house that is not only populated by cats, but primarily populated by cats. Where I would say the cat residency is exceeding the human residency, at least in as much as the cats are really using the space more. For vomit storage and whatever cats do. And then many a times, you know, she would have me move her bed from the upstairs to the downstairs. She had me for a little while, like, doing work around the house inside. You know, she would kind of be like, I'll pay you an extra, like, $5 if you do these other little tasks, you know. So one of the tasks was, like, making the bed. And especially, like, when the seasons changed and she had new sheets, like, she couldn't get the sheets on herself. So she would have me do the sheets. And, like, there is something very weird about being a 14-year-old boy helping an old woman put the sheets on her bed. I am not going to lie to you. And this is not, like, not in a Mrs. Robinson way. Let's not think Mrs. Robinson. Let's think Mrs. Claus, but then not super nice. So, you know, the seasons would change. She'd be like, all right, we're going to put the warm sheets on. We're going to do this. But she's one of these people who's super picky about how the bed is made. Always. You know what I mean? There's no, like, all right, this is pretty much in the middle. All right, that's tucked in. But, you know, it was nuts. It was like she was in the fucking army or something. Anyway. All this comes around. Oh, and also, you know, since she's wearing these baby doll pajamas, she'd be in the garden weeding while I'm mowing, and I would get an eyeful. You know, you're an old lady, you're bending over at the waist, because for some reason old ladies are like, well, my legs do not bend anymore. Whenever I need to retrieve something, I'm just going to bend over like I'm about to fucking shake the booty in a video. Like, I am just about to make a clap. I don't know why, that is. I mean, I'm sure there's an explanation, but it's like, if there's ever been a reason to do squats, you know, just to keep that mobility, keep that flexibility, it's because when you're old, then you don't need to, like, treat the world to the full Monty. So, I saw a lot more than I wanted to in our times together. Now, this woman was in the newspaper because she claimed that Stephen King lived in her basement and wrote part of The Shining there. That he had been in Estes Park, you know, and had been inspired and all that. And then was like a boarder living with her and wrote The Shining in her house. So this is my first tenuous horror connection to The Shining, which is like less horror, more the story of like you're 14 and you're like, I mean, I kind of want $8, but I do not want to work for it. So what are we going to do here? But you know, also seeing an old woman, more of an old woman naked than you really want to. I mean, when you're old man and you see an old woman naked, it makes sense, right? But when you're a 14-year-old boy and you're seeing a non-family old woman, as much as I saw of her on as regular of a basis as I saw it, So, whether or not this is true is pretty suspect, I guess. You know, there was an article in the paper about it. She'd always talk about it, and then there's an article in the paper about it. But, you know, it was kind of, if I remember correctly, by this Mike Peters fella, who was kind of on the, like, oddball beat, or the, like, local history beat, or, you know, he was the kind of guy who, like, a Columbine happens, right? And they are like, oh, well, let's have him write a thing about how the community is responding to it or something, right? Like, he's, I don't know, he's in touch with people. He can be emotional from time to time and then silly from time to time. I think he had, like, a weird column title for a while, like the Rusty Trombone or some shit. Like, nah, not the Rusty Trombone. That's a different thing. But something like that. I mean, it was something like that, but non-sexual. As sexual as the Rusty Trombone is. You know what's funny? The Rusty Trombone thing is, like, something you would talk about, like, you know, when you're at a certain age and these, like, little sex moves are funny and they're like, ooh, this is called the Houdini and this is the Blumpkin. But you're like, well, Rusty Trombone is just, like, fucking licking someone's asshole. I feel like licking of the asshole has become a lot more mainstream as the years have gone on. Or maybe I've just become less concerned about what other people are doing sexually. I'm just like, you don't need to come up with a cute name for licking someone's asshole. You can be like, so then I was licking, you know, my wife of 40 years asshole, and she came, and she's got the female orgasmic incontinence, so it was a spray. You know, I just, like, I don't know how far you have to go before I'm concerned, but it's pretty fucking far, is what we're getting at here. So, that's my first encounter. That was, like, when the Stanley sort of first came into life, right? And it's in Estes Park, too, which is, like, this is a thing. This is a Colorado thing, and I think other places probably have it. But Colorado has these sort of, like, I don't know what to call them, like, mountain vacation towns, you know, which is, like, when someone comes from out of town and they want to see, like, Colorado weird shit, you know, not weird shit, but, like, you go, it's kind of like, I think, what coastal towns have. Like, they all have, like, a beach town. And, you know, you go there, they got a fucking boardwalk, they got a crab shack, they got this and that, right? That's what we have. You'll go to a mountain town, they have, like, a few blocks where there's, you know, some little cute stores. They sell, like, a bear that was made out of a log via chainsaw. They sell, like, moose-related decorations for your home. There's a taffy store. There's about 18 ice cream shops. There's a fudge shop. There's probably some kind of, like, arcadey pizza place that's not great. But, you know, you're like, I got fucking kids with me, so I gotta go there. You know, you can get, like, a scorpion in a half ball of glass that you can just look at. A dead scorpion. You know, switchblade comb. This kind of shit. And this is like any place you go in Colorado that's kind of mountainy has one of these. You know, like you can go to Estes Park, you can go to Leadville, you can go to Manitou, you can go all these different places have this sort of old town wherever. And you can engage in these activities. So Estes Park is like that, right? And when you grow up here, that was the nearest one to us. It's like an hour away. You go up there, you fucking go to the magic store. You have the guy at the magic store show you like 15 magic tricks because you're a kid and you're just like, I don't even, it's kind of like having your own little magic show. Because if you're like, maybe I'll buy this cup and ball thing. He's like, okay, well, here's how it works. And then you're like, cool. What about this one where a cigarette goes through a quarter? That was the only one that, for some reason, my grandma was always like, no, you can't do that one. That one's for grown-ups. And I was like, why? A cigarette burning through a quarter is way cooler than, like, oh, look, there's a string and it goes through an old rag or some shit. I haven't really kept up with magic, if you can't tell. Okay, so encounter number two was horrifying, but in a different way. Excuse me. I went to a wedding there. This is not the horrifying part, by the way, if you were someone at the wedding or someone in the wedding. It was not that the wedding was horrifying. The wedding was pretty fun. There was a lot of drinking. And at the time, I was in this relationship, which ended probably about like a week after this. And like looking back at it, I remember driving home, and we're all in the car, and my girlfriend at the time was the designated driver, and she was just real, she was not having a good time. And I didn't know, you know, I was like, is it because she's the designated driver, or what's going on? But she wasn't super happy. And, like, looking back after we broke up and everything, I was like, I think that while we were there, she was, like, already broken up with me. You know, like, in her mind, she was kind of breaking up with me already. Because I don't know. I don't think most people break up and they're like, last week I thought everything was great, and this week I am going to break up with him or her or whatever. Right? You kind of know it's coming, or you feel like, maybe I could do without this person. And then you're kind of like, I need to get away from this person. And then you're like, all right. I've worked up the guts to actually do this. So while it wasn't an experience in itself that was haunting, it was the aftermath that was truly frightening. It was the death of love that followed. Do you like how this is a stretch? But there's like a theme here, which is basically like every encounter I've had with the Stanley, though not horrifying, is like mildly disappointing. It's like it's cursed, but not horribly cursed, just like a mild curse. Finally, last year, so for the last couple of years, we've gone up on New Year's to Estes Park area. And, you know, on New Year's Day, we'll go to the Stanley and have a drink. It's annoying that you can't sit at a table unless you're ordering food. So, you know, we kind of fight for a bar table and finally get one usually, and then have a drink. And this year, for the first time, they were like, we have a hedge maze. And I was like, yeah, it's about fucking time. I always wanted to go in a hedge maze. I always wanted, like, you know, I figured, hey, it's in the movie. It's not actually there. There's not actually a hedge maze at the Stanley Hotel, by the way, where, you know, the famous thing from The Shining, the kind of, like, deus ex shrubina at the end, doesn't exist. But then they finally fucking wised up and they were like, oh, maybe we should make a hedge maze. No fucking shit. Now, my friend warned me. He's like, it's not like you think. It's not like a hedge maze. And I was just like, I don't care. You know, it'll be fine. We get there. And so when I picture hedge maze, I picture, like, you know, I don't know how tall, like 20-foot tall hedges. And they're like thick green. You can't see through them. You can't like walk through them. I guess you could burst through them if you, like, really were trying. But it's almost like a wall, you know? You wouldn't want to just walk through it. You'd get all fucked up, right? And you'd fuck up the hedge. We get there, and I'm expecting not this, but here's what I was picturing. I was picturing, like, waist-high hedge maze, you know, where it's, like, that kind of hedge, but, you know, you can see through it and stuff. And I was like, all right, well, you know, these things take time. I assume this is how hedges work. They just grow, and you trim them to be square because, you know, you're like, oh, let's give somebody a job, I guess, at this fancy hotel. And, but, you know, I was prepared to wait and see, like, I saw it in its infancy. Well, it turns out that the hedges are basically plants. You know, they're like these little plants stuck in the ground, but it's the winter, so they're completely barren. There's no leaves nor sign of leaves. The branches are not thick, and they were almost knee height. And then the maze itself was extremely short. Like, the actual space it occupies is, like, maybe, you know, the key, the top of the key when you shoot in basketball? Or, like, where you shoot a free throw from? That rectangle is probably about the total size. So, you know, you walk through it, it takes, like, 2 seconds to walk through the whole thing. Also, there were basically no wrong directions to walk. It was kind of, you could not help but walk the correct way when you were in the maze. That is the hedge maze there. And you know what? It's really full circle. Because it's kind of like I had this fucking lady, and she had twigs in her yard, and that was a problem. And then I go to the Stanley, and then where am I? I'm right back in Twigsville. I don't know how that middle story relates to twigs, but it probably does. You know, I'm probably just not thinking of it right now, and then when I go back in my mind, I'll be like, oh my god, but what about this? So let's just assume that a couple days from now, I'll be like, by golly, I've got it. Here's what happened. Here's why that's twigs. And why that has to do with twigs. So there you go. These are my tales of terror from the Stanley Hotel. The haunted Stanley Hotel. La, la, la. Thanks for listening. We're almost through the end of the month. And I know that we haven't made it every day, but we've done a show for every day, and we've been pretty close. I mean, I think the most I had to put up at once was like 3, and maybe there were one or two other times where I had to do 2. But you know what? Go fuck yourself, okay? This is a lot of show casting, and it's a lot of, like, doing the annoying parts of podcasting, which is, like, transferring files and moving files around, right? That's, like, the least fun part, and it's way more of that than normal. So I hope you fuckers are enjoying it. I got one tweet that said someone was enjoying it. Made her commute better. So thanks to you. And the rest of you can go fuck yourselves. Unless you're enjoying this. In which case, good. You know, I'm pretty much bitter either way. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Why I would make this decision. And then be embittered about it. I don't know. But here we are. And then we've got a lot of stuff to get back to when November comes. When November begins, my, you know, medical travails continue. Our Choose Your Own Adventure that I very stupidly started on the last episode in September. And then we'll just pick up from the first decision again in November. That was a good idea. All this and more, you know, I was at a place and a guy was a real dick, but not to me, but to other people. A lady was doing yoga in a totally inappropriate place and it was weird. Things have happened. You know, my life has really filled up over the last month. I'm on a volleyball team again, which I don't think I've talked about at all. And, boy, that's probably most of it. That's probably most of it. Most of the good stuff. So we have so much to do. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? I'm gonna do one thing that's not not related to this, but is related to, I went to this work thing and we had to do an icebreaker. If I can give one piece of advice to everybody who does like work seminars and stuff like that, don't do an icebreaker. Or if you're going to do an icebreaker, do one that is genuinely fun and doesn't require the attendees to like think of something out of the fucking blue. You know, don't require them to do something like, you know, two truths and a lie. Because I did think of, like, I'm going to write this short story. Like, this absurd short story called Two Truths and a Lie. Or, you know, Two Lies and a Truth or whatever it is. And, you know, it's going to be a work day where everyone goes to this seminar. And they have to do, like, two lies, one truth. And the people have to guess it, right? But everyone kind of decides to go nuts. Because they're like, I am so fucking tired of doing this. Here's what I'm going to do. So one guy comes in. I think I talked about it on here before. The three jars. Two jars with a yellow liquid in it. One jar with urine in it. And everyone has to guess which one's urine. You know, they don't have to taste it or anything. They just have to guess. But I'm like, I like that. Two jars are a lie. One jar is the truth. P is the truth. I came up with another good one, which is like, oh, it'd be interesting if somebody did this two lies and one truth. And then basically, like, you know, let's say it's a lady, right? And she's like, okay, here are my three things. One, I am deeply in love with Steve and have never admitted it to this point. And Steve is in the room. Two, I'm deeply in love with Jake and I've never admitted it up to this point. And Jake is in the room. Three, I'm deeply in love with Stacy and I've never admitted it. And Stacy's in the room at this thing. And so then you're sitting there like, well, she's deeply in love with someone and has never admitted it to this point. But who is it? Who's it gonna be? Now that's fucking intense. And what I like about that one, I wish this happened because, you know, if that happened when I was there, I'd be like, fucking finally. Finally we get some action out of this game. Like, this is intense. I'm excited about this. And I'm excited to think about which one it is. You know, I'd be like, hold on, don't tell us yet. Let's guess. Let's all guess. Because I don't think we need to, I don't think we need to cast this off right away. This is going to be the most fucking interesting one, you know. Someone's going to be like, I've never left the country. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Canada. And you're like, who cares? But this is interesting. So those are two of the ones I thought of, you know. And then obviously one's going to have to be like, I killed someone and their corpse is in my car. I killed someone and their corpse is, you know, in the closet over there. I killed someone and I'm wearing their skin right now. Anyway, we had to do this thing and, you know, it's hard to come up with things. So I don't really blame people. And I had one that was good, except then I didn't want to use it because the one we had to do was tell something about you that nobody knows. And it had to be, you know, like PG. And I was kind of like, you know, I didn't say it to them at the time, but I was just like, I mean, if we're talking about things that nobody knows about me, I have done hundreds of hours of podcasting where I've talked about my butt. I've talked about shitting. I've talked about sex. I've talked about, you know, my urinary tract infection. I've talked about all these things. And I'm like, I don't really know what's left other than something so innocuous as to be completely uninteresting. You know what I mean? Like, my first car was a Toyota Cressida. And, you know, no one in the room would know that. But, I mean, what is that? It doesn't really say anything about you, does it? I thought about, I toyed with, I was like, maybe I'll say my father's been released from prison this year. So that was a big win for the family. But somebody in the room was like, oh, and so what I ended up saying was like, I'm actually, on the losingest volleyball team in the, you know, rec league with like three other people who are in the room. And the guy was like, well, technically other people know that about you, but we'll let it slide. And I was like, yeah, fucking A you will, because like, I don't know, what are you going to do? Like, at least it was semi-entertaining, right? And, you know, brings people together. But somebody said something that was like, okay, I am related to a rock star. And the rock star was the, somebody in Smash Mouth. I assume the singer, because I don't think anyone actually knows the other people in Smash Mouth. And then this person was related to the singer of Smash Mouth in one of these, like, it's my uncle's cousin's stepdaughter's ex-husband's something. And by the time we got through the whole thing, I was just like, how do you even know that? A. And B, I was like, I feel like if we're counting that as related, I'm fucking, you know, related to Abraham Lincoln, right? If that's what, if we cared to investigate, I mean, aren't we all probably related to Smash Mouth? And also, I think I was insulted because I was like, listen, I have sung portions of All Star so many times. I think I'm a lot closer to, I believe his name is Steve, than most people. You know. I feel like you can only say you're related to someone. It's like, is there a chance this person would show up for Christmas? Especially, you know, if they weren't super famous, would they come to your house for Christmas? And it's like my cousin's wife's uncle's brother's cousin. And you're like, eh, not really. So then I feel like that doesn't count. Like, how are you related? And how would you even find that out? Like, for all I know, I'm that related to who knows how many people, right? Like, what is that? I don't know, but I'm overthinking it. Because, you know, there were others that were just like, whatever. And my normal one for this, by the way, is like, there was this New York Times article about, like, an uncle of mine who... great uncle who invented the t-shirt cannon. Like, he invented the original one. He did not patent it, so he didn't get rich off it. But basically, it's like, my family invented the t-shirt cannon, which I think is pretty cool. But I'm like, it's not really about me. Like, that has nothing to do with me. I've never even shot a t-shirt cannon. I would love to. I'd like to think, you know, somebody in the t-shirt cannon industry... If you're in the t-shirt cannon industry and you're listening to this, how about you just give me one? You know what I mean? And I'll fucking shoot some t-shirts at people. I just feel like it's the least you could do. You know how, like, old-timey comic book guys like Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster, all these people got fucked out of their money for making up Superman and other comic book characters because at the time they were just like, well, fuck you, you work for the comics industry and we pay you a shiny nickel. For every funny book panel, we pay you a nickel, and that's the fair rate. I feel like that's what happened to this guy. It's like he came up with this fucking thing, and then you guys all fucked him. So you could make up for it now, to me, even though no one in this situation owes me anything, nor do I have any authority in the situation. You could still make it up to me though. That doesn't mean, just because this is the fact of the matter, doesn't mean you can't make it up to me. You know, put a little good into the world. The love you make is equal to the love you take, something like that, vice versa.
Give me a fucking t-shirt cannon.
Or, you know, some kind of thing that shoots out buttons, like pins. Zips them out so there's like deadly spinning discs or something. Give me some stuff. You owe me that. We owe each other that. We owe each other for you to give me stuff. All right. I think we've more than accomplished the goals today, and you know, then did whatever else this just was. I don't even know what that was. That was just me rambling into the darkness. Dark and lonely times. You know, when you're talking into a microphone in the car, you're not just talking to yourself. So that's That's a plus. That's a necessary thing in my life. To just feel... I feel like if I was ever in an insane asylum, be like, just give him a microphone. And then he'll just talk about... He'll tell you how he's doing. Therapy-wise. I do always wonder if, you know, if I were to enter therapy again in my life, I'd be like, can I just, like... Can I just record an hour podcast? You can listen to it at your leisure, you know, while you're jogging or something, doing your fucking laundry. So you don't have to sit there with a pad and whatever. Just have a pad nearby that you can access. And,
you know, then just get back to me with some notes.
Preferably if you could do two sets of notes, you know, one on, like, here's how to make it a little more entertaining and publicly palatable. And one on, like, you know, here's my thoughts on your fucking brain. That would be great. That would be a good show. That'd be a really good show. Like, once a week. So, you know, on Monday, this person talks about their fucked up whatever. And then on Wednesday or something, the therapist does his show, which is also talking about whatever. And therapizing the person. Analyzation. It would be an interesting show. And then you could have different therapists do it all the time. See what they thought of the same audio. See if this is a real thing, this therapy, or if it's all a scheme. We're putting those feet to the fire. We're putting those feet to your father. How do you feel about your father? Okay? All right. Now we're really done. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Woo!